You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. I am one of the hosts, Nick Filato, joined as always by Chris Flum, and we're reconvening with someone who used to host this show, the one, the only, the great Joe DeLeon, who had his boots on the deck out there in Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back home, but always a fun week being out there in Mobile. Second time I've been there, and I got to say, it is great being around football for a week, getting to see everything. There's a lot of really promising players that I think need some recognition. So excited to talk about it with you guys.
How much Southern food did you have?
Not enough. I was trapped in the hotel room for way too much of it, but I did Uber Eats plenty of barbecue and chicken with any opportunity I had.
That's excellent. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, got another one of those just great rainy days, so it's a good day to be inside and talking to you guys.
Absolutely. So, Joe, let's start with just some 30,000 foot view questions about the Reese's Senior Bowl. Yeah. What were your general impressions, just having boots on the deck, seeing these guys in person, practice? Because again, for those listening, we mostly, when we talk about the Senior Bowl, everyone thinks about the game. The game is secondary to me. It's always about those practices and what happens and how those three practices transpire. So what were your general impressions?
Yeah, in terms of the game, I left way before the game was even played, so I don't think a lot of people really take stock in the performances. It's a nice way to cap off the week. It's nice to see, you know, guys get those awards for top performer during the game, but what we get from it is what happens in these one-on-one drills, like you're talking about these team drills, 7-on-7, how do these guys perform, who catches our eye. I will say the two like major takeaways, and it's very reminiscent of how the class is structured. The offensive and defensive line across the board were the most talented groups there. That was where I kept drawing my attention to. And I kept finding myself on all 3 days trying really hard to go to the receiver and DB one-on-ones and walk over there and pay attention to that. But as things transpired, I kept drifting back over to the O-line, D-line one-on-ones when that was going on, because there was just so many great highlight plays that were happening. And I'm sure we're going to get into a lot of those players, a lot of interior linemen that the Giants need that performed really well at the Senior Bowl. The other takeaway, though, that I had is the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl were very underwhelming. One guy did well in Jake Haener, but separate from that, I think there was very up and down week from the group of quarterbacks, which is we're not really used to. You know, we're used to there at least being somebody competitive, somebody good that's in the top round conversation, but we really don't have anyone near close to that this year.
That's Jake Haener from Fresno State. Let's try to say the schools just because people are new to the draft.
I got you.
Yeah, I kind of got the same impression about the quarterbacks, especially just watching the game. A lot of the guys, they were really, like you said, just underwhelming. I think the best part of the whole game part of it was Tom Pelissero and Tyson Bajan's dad arm wrestling. And Pelissero not having to use his whole body to lose. That was, I think, kind of the quarterback highlight of the weekend.
Yeah, there was not a lot of good throws and good quarterback play from the week. And I think that, you know, very well put, that was probably the most exciting outcome of anything with a quarterback storyline related.
So let's start, Joe, with the offensive line. You mentioned how dominant they were, and we know the New York Giants could always use more offensive linemen and more competition. So who really stuck out to you down there in Mobile?
Yeah, in terms of the offensive line, the guys that I think had the best weeks were those interior guys, and specifically John Michael Schmitz is somebody who I was really keen on, and I thought that he had one of the cleanest weeks. One of the things that I've said about him in terms of his evaluation is that he's not a guy who's going to get too high or too low. He's not somebody who's going to have highlight plays, crazy reps during these one-on-ones, but he was so hard to beat. He was so hard to get around. A big fan of what he's done. And I think that maybe he's pushed himself into that top center conversation, or at least top three at the center position in this class. Some of the other interior guys, Nick, you commented on this one video that I posted of Steve Avila, who coming into the season, I was really high on him as a center, and I thought that he deserved more recognition. He plays mostly guard this year, but he showed that he could do both things. And I think for the Giants' circumstance, you draft a guy like Avila somewhere late day two, and he can play either spot. He can play either guard or center, depending on how things shape out during training camp. Separate from that, I think Osiris Torrance had a really nice week. Big, strong kid from Florida. Some of the tackles that looked really good. I think Jalen Duncan from Maryland showed a lot of really positive signs as a left tackle that doesn't really benefit the Giants in this circumstance. And then Matt Bergeron from Syracuse, who I believe can play either spot, left or right tackle, maybe even could play inside, which he did during the week, is another name to pay attention to, because he had that one rep that everyone was talking about with Derek Hall, where, is it a bad rep because he's throwing the guy into the lap of the quarterback? Is it a hold? But other than that one rep, I think that he had a really, really nice, strong week.
Chris, I wanted to ask you, have you watched Steve Avila's tape yet or John Michael Schmidt's?
Only in passing right now. I haven't gotten a chance to really drill down and study those guys yet. What I saw from Schmidt's during the clips I saw of practice and during the game, yeah, I really like that guy. I loved watching him and Osiris Torrance together as a guard center combination. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say they looked unbeatable in the middle, but they gave pretty much everyone who lined up across from them headaches. Like, they looked like they had been teammates for 3 years already.
Just completely solid players. In terms of Schmitz, man, let's be honest. With the New York Giants, they have a lot of holes. So I don't know if the Giants would look to select a player like that at the back end of the first round. But at the same time, finding a true center, somebody who can reach, three techniques and four eye techniques and cover ground, climb up to the second level, have those type of movement skills, that would benefit this offense so drastically in terms of what they can do running the football, let alone how solid he is as a pass protector. So it's good to see that there are some solid offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen specifically, that the New York Giants will at least have the opportunity at looking at. One more player I wanted to mention on the interior offensive line that we haven't covered yet is Cody Mock, the kid from North Dakota State. Believe he was a tackle in college, a little bit of an older prospect. How is he down there? Because this guy fits that like Ben Bartsch. Remember when Ben Bartsch was like drinking like smoothies with like Cheetos and Gatorade and stuff? This guy has that kind of personality in the sense he has no teeth, long red hair, looks like an offensive lineman. What were your impressions of Mock?
Yeah, I actually went up and spoke to him because, the FCS football ties, me playing FCS. I went and tracked down as many of the FCS guys as possible during the media availability for these guys. And he's a really smart, nice kid. I found it kind of funny where he fits exactly what you would expect. I asked him if football didn't exist, what would you be playing? What would you be doing rather for work? And he said, I'd be on my family's farm and I'd be working. And he gives those types of vibes. And honestly, that's kind of what you want with offensive linemen. It's such an old school mentality of just big, strong kid. I will say his week was a little bit up and down. I do think that there were some, Twitter accounts that were hyping him up as if he was unstoppable the whole week. And I don't think that that was the case. He showed a lot of really positive signs, a lot of really nice flexibility and athleticism, because this is a former tight end playing offensive line. You can see that he is a great, great athlete. But I think technically speaking, there is refinement that needs to be done. But I absolutely think that he is a prospect somewhere on day two, mid to late day two is one to pay attention to, because, again, as you mentioned, played tackle in college, can probably bump in and will bump into guard. Even I think he was snapping a little bit as well. So he's somebody who's got that position versatility to play multiple spots.
Yeah, during the game, they had Mock play I think all five positions at one point or another. Yeah. I paid attention when he was at center. I thought he looked pretty good. Yeah, he's not a mauling center, but he's got those tackle feet. He's got that former tight end athleticism. He can climb to the second level. He can work off that guard center double team. I really like him. I don't know that he can stay at offensive tackle in the NFL because he has 32-inch arms.
Yeah.
Like that's... I know a lot of offensive linemen out there, Duke Mannyweather, friend of Big Blue View there, he doesn't give a damn how long your arms are, but a lot of teams do. So I definitely think Cody's going to be going inside to either guard or center. I have him down in my nose as Justin Pugh 2.0.
So it's good to hear some nice praise with Cody Mock, but I also appreciate, Joe, that you're keeping it realistic. It wasn't fully a perfect week, which I do feel like a lot of, there are Twitter accounts out there that try to kind of paint that type of picture. But I do want to transition the conversation to the wide receiver position. Just like the interior offensive line, just like so many position groups with the New York Giants, the Giants need these guys. Even though they've invested a $72 million contract to Kenny Golladay, spent a first-round pick on Kadarius Toney, neither are factors with the team right now. So what were your impressions, Joe, of the wide receivers down in Mobile?
Yeah, this for the 2023 class, first of all, this receiver group is not as good as we've had in the past. There's going to be a huge drop-off in the number of receivers that were selected in the first round over the past few years. And last year was, some believed, a down year for receiver because of the, you know, the Jamar Chases, the Justin Jefferson type classes that we've had before that. And that really, really translated to the Senior Bowl because there's not a number one receiver that was participating in Mobile. There's not even like a number two really type of a guy. But what we have is a lot of back end roster receivers and a lot of guys that I think are going to contribute on special teams, be really solid, you know, tertiary, you know, number four receiver type guys that just fill out with really, really good depth. The guys that for me, I think stood out the most, the one who I thought had the best week was Michael Wilson from Stanford, really, really nice route runner. And he's a, you know, big, strong kid from Stanford. The way that he was able to position himself to quickly cut and change direction, I see him as like a guy who can play really well on the boundary. Just really, really well-refined player. He's somebody who, like I'm saying here with these, you know, these fourth or third receivers on your roster, he's not going to have 100 yards a game. He's not going to turn into that guy, but he could be somebody who picks up key first downs when you need him to, who ends up being open when everything else is closed down, has like 50 yards every so often. And he's just a nice player to fill out the roster. Separate from him, Jaden Reed from Michigan State was cooking guys all week, as well as Tank Dell from Houston. But the thing with Jaden Reed, and a lot of people talk about during these one-on-one drills, it benefits smaller, shiftier guys like that. It really benefits those guys to perform well. And it's why, you know, we have guys like Kadarius Toney who have massive stock rises from those performances in those one-on-one drills. But I will give Jaden Reed credit that he was open by like 15 yards on a lot of the reps that he had. And if you're beating guys that badly, that's a really positive sign in my eyes. So he's just like a nice, you know, speedy, quick receiver that, you know, I think could fill out the back end of most rosters.
I think you brought up Tank Dell's name, and Tank Dell seemed like that's another player who, when I watched him, when I watched this film, I was like, I don't know how the skills are translatable, but you're playing in like a wide open spread attack against lesser competition, right? Yeah. But the adjective I used watching Tank Dell was this guy's just fun, right? Like incredibly explosive. I felt like he was really smart when he ran his routes. He was consistently running back to tune and getting into phase within zone coverage, just like kind of splitting defenders and stuff like that. If he was running like a comeback over the middle of the field or towards the sideline. But how was he in team drills down there? Because one-on-ones are set up for him. And you know what? They're right. Cool and they're fun to watch, but cornerbacks are so just in such a disadvantageous position. So how was he in team drills? Tank Dell, yeah, that is.
I think he and Jaden Reed both, that was the other reason why I thought that they both had good weeks, where a lot of that stuff did show up in the team drills, where they were making a lot of long, big catches and they were creating separation and getting open against some of these DBs. So I do believe that they both had a, you know, really, really nice performances from not only those one-on-one reps, which everyone clamors over, everyone gets excited over, but seeing that translate to the team drills, it definitely did show up.
Yeah, I think the only concern I would have with Tank Dell is his size. You know, 5'8", like 165 pounds or so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting a lot more flexible when it comes to player size, not only because just year over year, the smaller guys actually wind up getting hurt a little bit less often than a lot of some of the bigger guys within position groups, that is. But also we're seeing NFL teams just get better at using individual player skill sets. Like I remember we both worried about Devonta Smith and his size and how he would hold up and be able to deal with NFL cornerbacks. And that has not been an issue for him. You know, a lot of people were concerned over Kyler Murray's height, and that has not been an issue for him. So I personally don't have a whole lot of concerns regarding height, but I do know a lot of Giants fans have never gotten over Plaxico Burress, and they do not want to talk about a wide receiver unless he is 6'5".
So let's actually transition to those really big wide receivers. Joe, were there any really big wide receivers down there that you feel like could be maybe even later round picks who can come in and step in and play a role with the New York Giants?
Yeah, for me, Michael Wilson was the best one out of any of those bigger guys. I will say that, you know, there were positive reps from guys like Trey Palmer, and I feel like there's two guys in particular that were bigger that I think were a little bit overhyped to an extent just from the full practices, and that being Mingo from Ole Miss and then Andre Iosovis from Princeton. I just a lot of wasted steps on their routes. You know, I feel like when you've got these taller, longer receivers, you need to be more technically refined. Otherwise, you know, you're easily wasting space. You're easily wasting time on your route. And that's that one rep that I tweeted out where Iosovis was going against Rush from South Carolina. And, you know, he wastes all this time getting up on the route, and then he ends up getting beat, and Rush ends up picking off the ball on that rep. So, separate from that, I think Trey Palmer and Michael Wilson were the two bigger receivers that had nice weeks.
I got a chance to kind of dig into Mingo, and yeah, he is a guy you want to like. There are areas of his game that catch your eye. Like mm-hmm. when the ball comes his way, he's got pretty sure hands. He can get open. He is a great blocker. Like he blocks like a tight end sometimes, but then you look at him, you're expecting AJ Brown, and that's just not there.
the other thing too with Mingo though is just I there were a lot of reps where he got away with OPI too. Like there were a lot of times where he's shoving dudes trying to get off the route, and it's like, okay, you got open because you shoved somebody.
Yeah, and then Iosovis, I'm definitely going to have to track down his tape and dig into him, because we have heard that he has caught Joe Shane's eye. So just for Nick and I, that's a reason we should probably pay attention to this kid. He does reportedly run like a 4.29 40. Mm-hmm. So that, and a guy who is 6'3", weighed in at I think 212 at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, that's at least worth checking out, even if it is as a late round pick. You know, if they double back on the position.
Chris, do you think Joe Shane fell in full bloom love with the player?
Oh, I certainly hope not. I never want to hear those words come out of Joe Shane's mouth.
All right, Joe, before we transition to the defense, do you want to speak at all on the running back position or the tight end position? We know Musgrave was down there, the kid from, I believe, Oregon State, who had a really good week. What were your opinions on the running backs and the tight ends?
Yeah, I wasn't necessarily head over heels over any of the tight ends. I do think that Musgrave from Oregon State that you mentioned did, flash a little bit. I got to say, out of any of the guys in both those position groups, Tyjae Spears from Tulane, the running back from Tulane, had one of the best weeks out of any prospect there. And I know that the Giants might not necessarily be in the market for a running back, but Spears, to me, just on a day-to-day basis, he had a different highlight play, a different play where you were like, oh, holy crap, how did he just do that? There's the one rep where he sneaks under a guy while running a route against a linebacker, and then he makes a fantastic grab, which just shows, his elusiveness. The one other thing that's tricky with running backs at the Senior Bowl is it's mostly thud, so nobody's getting tackled and brought to the ground. So it can be difficult to really see what's totally translatable, but he was just so fluid and his vision was so great, almost like a punt returner, the way that he was reading the field in front of him on screens, on a lot of his rushing plays. I'm really high on Tyjae Spears, and admittedly, I hadn't even watched him yet, and he wasn't even on my short list of running backs to watch for this class, and I'm adding him on there because I need to see how good this kid can be, and I think he might have been one of the the biggest winners out of anybody.
Definitely make a point of watching his tape. It is fun.
Oh yeah.
I tweeted this out before the game started. I don't do prospect pro comps all that often, but Tyjae Spears, I could not help but see David Wilson coming out of Virginia Tech when I watched his tape. They're the exact same size, 5'8", 5'9", about 204, 205. Mm-hmm. They've got the same kind of twitch, same kind of agility, the same kind of breakaway speed. I would not be at all surprised if Spears comes out of the scouting combine having run in the 4.3s and jumping 40 inches. He is explosive.
Oh, yeah.
Love to see small schools like that. He's from Tulane, by the way. Love to see kids from small schools really kind of show up to a Senior Bowl event and ball out. And hopefully he made himself some money. But before we get to the defense, Joe, Chris, we're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors here at SB Nation.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All righty, Joe. Let's get into the defensive side of the football. What were your primary takeaways? At the top of the show, you said the defensive line was dominant. So who were some of the top prospects on the defensive line down in Mobile?
Yeah, one guy who really opened my eyes on the first day was Keanu Benton from Wisconsin. And he was a bit misused and a little banged up this year at Wisconsin. So I didn't get to fully see what he was capable of until he showed up at the Senior Bowl and he seemingly back to full health. He was mostly playing nose at Wisconsin. And I think that he had a lot more twitchiness and explosiveness to play as a three tech at the next level. And they asked him to do that mostly during the week where they were deploying him as a three tech. And he really, really shined, especially going up in these one-on-one drills and in the team drills. He was blowing guys up. His hand speed was just so aggressive and violent. He was so hard to block for a lot of guys. As well as another guy that was on his team, Ade Odebuare from Northwestern. I was paying attention to him earlier in the week, and I'm like, okay, I need to pay attention to this kid and see how he pans out. And as the week progressed, he got better and better and was, again, another guy who just was so hard to block. There was the one highlight play he had going up against Jarrett Patterson from Notre Dame, who's supposed to be one of the better interior linemen in the class. And he blew him up and walked him back all the way like 15 yards, behind the line of scrimmage. That to me is really, really promising. A kid who primarily played edge at Northwestern and is bumping inside to defensive tackle and is putting on a little bit of extra weight to play that position. I think that he shows that transition is really going to work. Separate from the interior guys, though, I think that, we had some positives from Will McDonald, who is making a transition to play less of a interior rusher because of the 3-3 stack that they run at Iowa State. He's playing mostly like a 5-tech. He's going to be a little bit wider in the NFL because he's a lot thinner and more wiry. His weight looks great. So I think that Will McDonald was definitely one of the bigger winners of the edge players that were there.
You brought up the kid from Northwestern. That dude almost has 11-inch hands, which is
crazy.
Crazy, but then you look at DeJuan Jones, who practiced one time. He just showed up. Was like, I'm 6'8", 375 pounds. He's the offensive tackle from Ohio State. Dude has 11 3/8-inch hands with almost a 90-inch wingspan. That is just unreal. But sorry, I just wanted to kind of get that out there. What did you
think? No, you those create a character numbers.
Right. But the funny thing about DeJuan Jones, though, is that he dipped and didn't tell anyone. So he had that strong, good day, and he weighed in and everyone's losing their mind. And that first day has a couple of good reps to go with the size. And then the next day for media availability, he's not there and he's not at his podium for everyone to talk to. And the media people are like, we can't find him. We don't know where he is. He just left, which is hilarious that's how he handled it. But
he had to have told Jim Nagy, I'm imagining. But
the rumor is that he didn't tell anyone that it wasn't just the media person that was surprised. I heard from a couple of people that he just dipped.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating. But we'll get back to the defense. You brought up, we brought up Will McDonald. Were there any other like true edge rushers that you think would fit into what Wink Martindale would do? Now, McDonald's interesting because, like you said, he's 240 pounds. He doesn't necessarily have the experience as that stand-up edge rusher taking on pulling blockers and things of that nature, playing in that 3-3-5 type of defense up there in Iowa State. But what would be his transition to Wink Martindale's system? And are there any other edge rushers that you think the Giants could add maybe late day two, early day three, who could interest Big Blue?
Yeah, I think that Andre Carter from Army is really intriguing just because of how long he is. And there were, he was very inconsistent, admittedly. And you can see that playing at Army did not stunt, but hold him back a little bit. And I wonder how his development is going to be. There's a lot of potential for him because he is very twitchy. He's very explosive. His best reps were some of the best of the week, but his lows were a little bit troubling from time to time. But I think that Andre Carter is somebody who at one point was considered to be a first round pick. And I don't know if that hype is necessarily going to translate now that the season is done, which could benefit the Giants to draft him somewhere on day two, purely for a guy that is, you know, fully upside. But I do think that Andre Carter is somebody to pay attention to, who had some bright spots during the week.
What about your Notre Dame guy, Isaiah Foskey?
Foskey's another guy who, again, great length and had a bit of an up and down week. Some of the reps that he had, again, his best reps were really shining. And then at the same time, you know, he's getting thrown into the ground by DeJuan Jones on day one, which was, you know, not a very good look. But he as well is somebody who I think was considered to be a first round pick, had not as great of a year as some people would have hoped he would have had. And his Senior Bowl performance played into that expectation of, you know, good player, but has not really reached his full potential yet. I think that he as well is somebody who probably going to fall to somewhere early day two.
Now let's talk about the linebackers, because the New York Giants and linebackers historically they're aligned, right? You have great Carl Banks, you got Harry Carson, you have Lawrence Taylor. You want to throw his name in there, but recently it hasn't even been anywhere near that. So Joe, is there any remedies of players who were at the Senior Bowl who could come into this defense and start at linebacker, or at least just compete, because it's a gross situation right now?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, the best linebacker far and away was Diane Henley from Washington State. He has fantastic length, and he's just built to play linebacker at the next level. Perfect, perfect build. I was not that high on him coming into the week. I had him as like a late day two, early day three prospect. But as I started to see more and more of him and him being put into some more NFL-like situations, I've got to admit I'm very high on him now. And I think I might rewatch an extra game just to see how my expectations are for him. He was sticky in coverage, which is really promising. And he was very downhill and reactive in a lot of these team drills, which is really exciting to see. I think at the very least, he can be a really good rotational linebacker that's going to be a fantastic special teams player just because he's really aggressive and he's got a high motor. One guy that I'm so perplexed by, though, that like I like, but I feel so strange liking him because he's such a weird build, is Ivan Pace from Cincinnati. He's 5'10". I think he had like 29 inch arms. He's so stumpy. He's not built to succeed in the NFL at all. But for some reason, he still manages to dominate. You know, he manages to have really great highlight plays. The weird thing about Ivan Pace is that at Cincinnati, they blitzed him a ton. And you'd think with a guy that small that he would struggle, but his power is really deceiving. And he's like popping guys' chest back. He was unblockable at the Senior Bowl against running backs because of how good he is at rushing the passer. So like, that's a major positive. He did make some nice plays. I just think that there are still concerns with the size. He did answer some questions I had in his coverage abilities, because did not do a lot of that at Cincinnati, but he had a lot of pass deflections despite having, again, those stumpy arms that don't really benefit him for those situations.
Well, you know what they say in the weight room, there is only one word that starts with S and is synonymous with cheating, and that's short.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe Pace will blow up the combine with those short arms, just putting up.
Maybe he's another Chris Moreland.
He might be a 40 rep guy. I'm purely speculating, but again, short arms, strong kid, he might put up some crazy numbers.
Yeah, man. Combine's right around the corner, kind of. So that will be a lot of fun. But Joe, before we get out of here, we have to talk about the defensive backs. Let's start with the cornerback position. It seems like this cornerback class as a whole is really deep. A lot of very talented underclassmen. But there were also some guys down at the Senior Bowl who fit the mold of what a lot of teams want in cornerbacks. They're really tall, they're really long, and they're physical. So can you talk to us about some of the cornerbacks that were down there and some of them who you think could excel in man coverage under the tutelage of Wink Martindale?
Yeah, Julius Brents from Kansas State is just stupidly tall. He's 6'4", super long arms. I think that he showed some really nice fluidity because a lot of times those taller corners struggle to transition and struggle in man, but I think that he showed us some good things. Caillou Blue Kelly from Stanford was another guy who I thought looked really instinctive, really, really nice in those one-on-one drills. I think both of those guys just really, really strong weeks. If I were to add a safety who I thought had really good coverage skills, especially in man on tight ends, Christopher Smith from Georgia. First 2 days were great. The third day was a little off for him because they were asking him to cover a lot of receivers, but he was so sticky against a lot of these tight ends that none of the tight ends could get any separation on him. And he was making a lot of plays on the football, which is even more promising. Not a very big safety. You know, he's only like 5'10". He's got decent length, but very, very nice athlete. Very, very quick to react, which I think, you know, could work really, really well if Martindale wants to add another safety to this group.
Yeah, which, depending on what happens with Julius Love, the Giants might want to add another safety to their group, which also, just considering how often they used DB heavy sub packages, adding another safety, not a terrible idea, especially if they could get one at a good value on the third day. And I also definitely agree with the Giants adding another cornerback just because Aaron Robinson and Adoree Jackson have both proven to be injury prone by this point.
I mean, yeah, if you look at what the Giants did this season, a lot of their cornerback production came from Nick McCloud, Fabian Moreau, and players who were not in training camp with the New York Giants. So they likely will add cornerback and defensive back help. But Joe, any parting thoughts on your Senior Bowl experience this week as we get you out of here?
No, I think for the most part, it was an exciting week. A lot of really great players that I think should be on everybody's radar, especially for, you know, New York Giants fans. I'm now excited to get some exposure to the top guys at the combine. You know, I need to see how these other top guys that we didn't get to witness at the Senior Bowl that were underclassmen, to see how they're going to shake up against these guys that had really good weeks. It's exciting. I'm just can't wait for the NFL draft. I need it to be sooner, and this is the best time of year.
Joe, yes. Are you going to be at the combine?
I'm trying to. I was approved for credentialing, just, you know, figuring out if it's logistically makes sense. Are you guys going to be traveling for that? Or is anyone from Big Blue View going to be there?
I will not be. Chris?
I will not be, at least as far as I know right now. Ed might be. He usually likes to try to get there.
Right.
We do know Mark Schofield's going to be there because he's always there.
Yes, Mark and the Combine, very synonymous with each other. But Joe, thank you so much for joining us here on Big Blue View Radio. You're quite familiar with it. And everybody, please like and subscribe, rate, comment this podcast, and also head on over to bigblueview.com. But Joe, before we actually really get you out of here, please promote whatever you need to promote.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Joe DeLeon. And then my my podcast, which is the Believe in NFL Draft Prospects podcast, which can be found on Believe.com or Believe's YouTube channel. Make sure you check that out because we've got a lot of great NFL draft coverage that's going to be coming up.
Joe, thank you so much. Chris, talk to you later. Everybody, thanks for listening. Take care.